very well be that one of the most astounding things Jesus ever said to those first disciples was, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends." Friends. Friends. Jesus called those first disciples, and every disciple since then who walks the way Jesus sets before us, including you and me, friends. What does it mean to be friends? One person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. Linguistically, our English word friend is cognate with or rooted in a Gothic word meaning to love. Unlike family members, we choose and are chosen by our friends. A friend is one we choose to connect with on Facebook or face-to-face. We can have different kinds of levels of friends, BFFs or besties, acquaintances, girlfriends, boyfriends, soulmates, teammates, long-distance friends, childhood friends, thousand-mile friends, work friends, church friends. Why in the world does Jesus, in the midst of this extraordinarily long monologue or teaching, characteristic of this gospel and only this gospel of John, attributed to this beloved disciple or the disciple whom Jesus loved, and part of what biblical scholars term Jesus's farewell discourse, why amid this extraordinarily long monologue does Jesus make this startling, substantial, and signature move from calling his disciples servants to calling them friends? Fresh on the heels of the classic vine and branches gospel reading from this same gospel we heard last week, Jesus continues to speak of God's abiding in us, God's love abiding in us, and our call to abide or remain or dwell in that love. This gospel, the Gospel of John, considered by many to be the most theological and spiritual of the four gospels that made it into the canon, or officially recognized set of books in our Bibles, is intent on weaving a tapestry of connection and relationship and indwelling among God, the source, the creator, the beginning of the beginning, God's incarnate word that became flesh and lived among humanity, God's Holy Spirit, so very prominent in this gospel, the advocate, the spirit of truth, and those who keep Jesus' commandments, including the commandment to love one another as Jesus has loved us. "If you keep my commandments," said Jesus, "you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." This, says Jesus in John's gospel, is where joy comes from. The joy that is in Jesus is in us when we keep the commandment to love one another. Our joy becomes complete, like a never-ending circle, a virtuous cycle or infinite loop, as we love one another in the same manner and with the same mind and with the same heart that is in Jesus, that is in God, that is in the Holy Spirit. No one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friends. "That, my friends," says Jesus, "is how much I love you. That, my friends, is what you are to remember when you gather at my table to feast on bread and cup. That, my friends," says Jesus, "is how you bear fruit. Fruit that will last." Yes, oh yes, there is a love, no greater love than the love so deep and wide, so creative, so self-giving, so redemptive, outrageous, divine, extravagant, so transforming that it defies logic, ransacks rationality, upends hierarchies, overcomes death, eludes categories, remakes lives, banishes boundaries and binaries, runs rampant in a world that still worships death, dares to live, to abide in you, in me, in us, dares even now to command us to love one another even as we are loved, and chooses to call us friends. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. As a friend, said Jesus, I have made known to you everything that I have heard from God. That God is love, that God's love abides in me, that I abide in you, that I love you and no one can possibly love you more. That at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, and everywhere in between, it is love that really does make the world go round. And it is in love, this self-giving love, the highest form of friendship with God and with one another, that we are formed, our faith and our life are formed into acts and vessels of love. Beth and I have a very dear friend who teaches middle school social studies in Massachusetts. One evening over dinner with Mary and her family, she was telling us about the protocols for active shooter situations in middle schools and how they've changed. Not that long ago, teachers and students were trained to respond to active shooter situations through a lockdown-only approach by barricading themselves behind desks or along walls in their classrooms until given the all clear. Now teachers and students are trained to implement a more proactive ALICE protocol. ALICE is an acronym for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. ALICE teaches individuals, students and teachers alike, to participate in their own survival while leading others to safety. Though no one can guarantee success in this type of situation, it is believed that this new set of skills will greatly increase the odds of survival should anyone face this form of disaster. And incidentally, an ALICE protocol has also been developed for houses of worship. Now that evening, as Mary was sharing her latest ALICE training experience for her middle school, she also shared a story of the facilitator asking this question. If all but four of the students in your classroom assessed the situation and chose to evacuate, would you evacuate with them or choose to stay with the four who were too afraid to go? All but one of the middle school teachers in the training stated that they would evacuate with the multitude and leave the four students behind. When our friend Mary said she would choose to stay behind with the four, one of her colleagues exclaimed, "Well, that's stupid." Mary is a teacher, a wife, a mother of two, and a disciple of Jesus who understands self-giving love. That disciplined habit of care and concern, as Hope College theologian and ethicist David S. Cunningham describes it, that should be so deeply woven into our lives as Christians that we might even find ourselves called to die for it. In relating her story to us, Mary made it clear that she was in no way judging any other teachers who would choose to evacuate, but that her own faith in Christ roots her in the vine that is Jesus, and the love that loves her and abides in her that allows her to love this world, but also not be afraid to leave it when her time comes. No greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Mary loves her students. Mary's students are her friends. In the same sense, Jesus calls us friends, not in an unprofessional, unboundaried, totally mutual, chummy way, but as human beings made in the sacred image of God, who call forth her deepest care, her highest regard, and a valuing of their lives even above her own. We know these safety protocols like ALICE are not simply academic exercises or thought experiments for our teachers or our children and youth. Not quite 1 week ago, Milton police were notified of and began to investigate a situation involving a recently suspended student at Fontbonne Academy in Milton who allegedly threatened to shoot up the school. Fontbonne, our former church office manager Linnell's alma mater, by the way, is a private Catholic school for girls in grades 7 through 12, located barely over a mile from where those of us in this church building happen to be sitting right now. After this student made multiple verbal threats to shoot up the school, members of the Fontbonne school community reported the threats to administrators, who then issued the suspension of the student and reached out to local law enforcement. I do pray that my friend Mary and all her teaching colleagues, including those at Fontbonne, the Roosevelt, and every public parochial private school throughout the world, never have to use their ALICE active shooter protocol. Yet even amid the considerable challenges of living in this violence-soaked culture, perhaps one way of understanding today's teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of John is as a life-giving protocol for being disciples of Christ. And in 13th century philosopher and theologian Thomas Aquinas' words, friends with God. This is my commandment, said Jesus, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We are Jesus' friends if we do what Jesus commands. We are commanded to love one another as we have been and are loved. My 21st century colleague, the Reverend Steve Garnas Holmes, puts it this way, and I quote, Jesus will have no hierarchies, no separations or divisions, not even between us and him. Call no one good but God. There are no greater and lesser, no servants and masters, no insiders and outsiders. Not even believers and unbelievers, only friends, peers, siblings, companions. Every stranger is a sibling. Every person you meet is a friend for whom you would lay down your life. There is no them. There is only us. In the love of Christ, befriend this world and everyone in it. You will never be alone. There is no them. There is only us. In the love of Christ, befriend this world and everyone in it. You will never be alone. May we make it so. Amen.